Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. The previous perek ended with a statement attesting to the high regard which Achitophel's advice was accorded, so high a regard that it led to the acceptance of advice which, coming from anyone else, would have been rejected outright as abhorrent. Our chapter opens with Achitophel offering further advice. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayomer Achitophel el Avshalom, Evcharana shnemasar elef ish, ve'akuma ve'erdefa acharei David halayla. I will select 12,000 soldiers, a relatively small number, but very symbolic, and I will go and pursue David this very night. I will come upon him while he is tired and weak and cause him to panic, and the people who are with him will flee, so that I will strike down the king himself. And I will bring all the people back to you, and once the man you seek has been killed, the entire nation will be at peace. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Vayishar hadavar be'enei Avshalom uve'enei kol ziknei Yisrael. The suggestion was upright in the eyes of Avshalom and all the elders of Israel. We may well wonder, how could the Ziknei Yisrael, the elders of Israel, be so complacent with the plan to kill David HaMelech? There are two approaches to this question. Ralbag explains that they really were so taken in by Avshalom that they believed that David was judging the people unjustly and therefore felt that he had to be replaced. Malbim disagrees. He feels the people were still, there was some degree of respect left for David and maybe slightly skeptical about Avshalom. There is even a sense that perhaps after the episode with the Pilagshim, with the concubines, that people were a little less comfortable with Avshalom than they had been. And he notes here, Malbim notes the wording of the pasuk. It doesn't say vayitav be'inehem, that the idea was a good one in their eyes, because they weren't really that so comfortable with the idea of killing David. Nevertheless, taken at its merits in terms of a strategy, they had to agree that, strategically speaking, it was a good plan. So therefore, vayishar hadavar be'inei Avshalom uve'inei kol ziknei Yisrael. But Malbim continues that even Avshalom himself was a little uncomfortable with going so far with the idea of killing his father, which explains why in the next pasuk, Vayomer Avshalom, Krana gam l'chushai ha'arki, v'nishme'a ma b'fiv gam hu. Avshalom says, Kol chushai ha'arki. Let's hear what he has to say as well. Chushai came to Avshalom, and Avshalom told him what Achitophel had advised, and asked, Hana ased varav? Should we do as he says? If not, speak up. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7, Vayomer Chushai el Avshalom, Lo tova ha'itza asher ya'atz Achitophel bapam hazot. Chushai responded with words that must have caused quite an uproar. No, the advice of Achitophel is not good this time. He continues, You know that your father and his men are courageous fighters, and they are as embittered as a bear in the wild whose children have been killed. Your father is an experienced man of war. He won't be sleeping alongside the troops. He's certainly hiding in one of the caves. He won't be so easy to find and fall upon. As you fall upon the troops, they will be waiting to ambush you. And when the first of your troops dies, a rumor will quickly spread that your supporters are being massacred, and whoever hears, even if he is as brave as a lion, his heart will melt in fear, for everyone knows of your father's strength in battle and the valor of the men who are with him. My advice is to gather all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, as numerous as the sand upon the sea, and you yourself should lead the battle. Then, when we come upon him, wherever he may be, we will fall upon him like the dew upon the ground, and not a single man among them will remain. And if he withdraws into a city for refuge, all of Israel will bring ropes and drag the city into the Nachal until not even a pebble remains of it. There are several notable differences between the advice of Achitophel and that of Chushai. The advice of Achitophel was terse, short, and to the point. He's in a rush. He wants to act immediately, strike while the iron is hot. Chushai waxes poetic. offering visual images of defeat and victory that are designed to spark the imagination of the hearers, which is, of course, his intention. These images distract the listener from realizing that Achitophel's plan really is strategically superior. Achitophel wants to strike immediately, while David and his men are vulnerable, exhausted. Hushai is buying time, which David will certainly put to his advantage to regroup and to strategize. Perhaps the most significant difference is Hushai's suggestion, buried in his flow of words but not to be missed, that Avshalom himself lead the battle, whereas in Achitophel's plan, Avshalom would remain behind. This would serve two purposes in Achitophel's mind. One is that Achitophel himself would get all the glory for the victory. And two, it would prevent any last-minute hesitation on the part of Avshalom when it came to killing his own father. In Hushai's plan, Avshalom is drawn directly into the line of fire, which is in accordance with David's better interests. Vayomer Avshalom v'chol ish Yisrael. Tova atzat Hushai ha'arki me'atzat Achitophel. V'Hashem tziva lehaferet atzat Achitophel ha'tova leba'avur havi Hashem el Avshalom et hara'ah. Avshalom and all the men of Israel declared, Hushai ha'arki's plan is better than that of Achitophel. And the Navi then narrates, Hashem had decreed that the wise plan of Achitophel be thwarted in order to bring about punishment to Avshalom. Then Hushai ha'arki told Tzadok and Eviatar, the Kohanim, all that had been said, and instructed them to quickly send a message to David to tell him not to rest overnight in the desert, but to cross the Yarden, lest the king and all who are with him be overcome. Yehonatan and Achimaatz, the sons of Tzadok and Eviatar, were waiting in Ein Rogel so that they would not be spotted in the city, and a maidservant was sent to relay the message. Nevertheless, they were seen by a youth who ran to tell Avshalom, and meanwhile they escaped to the house of a man in Bahurim who had a well in his courtyard, and they climbed into the well. The man's wife took a cloth and spread it over the well and spread wheat over it as if it had been laying there to dry for some time in order to hide them. When Avshalom's men came to the house to search, they asked, "Where are Achimaatz and Yehonatan?" The woman replied, "They have crossed the stream of water." They searched but didn't find them and returned to Yerushalayim. Chazal tell us that this woman was the wife of Shim'i ben Gera, who had cursed David, and in the merit of her act of chesed for David, Mordechai and Esther, who saved Am Yisrael, were descended from her. After Avshalom's men left, Achimaatz and Yehonatan climbed out of the well and went to deliver the message to David, and they told him, "Quick, get up and cross the river, in case they decide to implement the plan of Achitophel." So David arose and crossed the Yarden together with his men, and by the time dawn lit the sky, not a single one remained that had not crossed. Back in Yerushalayim, Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23, Va'achitophel ra'ah ki lo ne'esta atzato. Vayachavosh et hachamor, vayakam vayelech el beito el iro, vayitzav el beito, vayechanek vayamat, vayikaver bekever aviv. Achitophel saw that his plan had been rejected, so he saddled his donkey and went to his house in the city, where he wrote his will, and then strangled himself and was buried in his father's grave. Why did he do such a drastic thing? The commentators explain that Achitophel realized that if his advice was rejected, it must have been ordained by Hashem that Avshalom would fail in his rebellion, and David's crown would be restored. He knew that David would have him killed as one who had rebelled against the king, and as such, his property would revert to the crown. Thus, he wanted to protect his property so that it would go to his children, and he also wanted to be buried with his father. So for these reasons, he brought his life to its tragic end. Meanwhile, David arrived in Machanaim, which we recollect was the city where the kingdom of Ishbosheth, son of Shaul, had its headquarters, while Avshalom set out in pursuit of David across the Yarden. Avshalom appointed Amasa in place of Yoav as general of his army. Amasa was the son of a man named Yitra Hayisraeli, who was the husband of Avigail bat Nachash, sister of Tzruya. We have already identified Tsruya as David's sister. So if Abigail is yet another sister, why is she called Bat Nachash? Rashi explains that according to Chazal, Nachash is another name for Yishai, the father of David, about whom our sages teach that he was so righteous he died without sin. Thus his death was only because of the manipulation of the Nachash, the snake of Gan Eden, who caused man to sin, thereby making him mortal. Thus Amasa, Avshalom's general, is his first cousin, and is the nephew of both David and Yoav. Avshalom and his army camped in Eretz Hagilad. When David arrived in Machanaim, he was greeted by a delegation of supporters. Shovi ben Nachash from Rabat b'nei Amon, not the same Nachash as we were just talking about, Machir ben Amiel from Lo Davar, and Barzilai Hagiladi from Roglim. Rashi identifies Shovi ben Nachash as the same Hanun ben Nachash who had humiliated the delegation of David back in Perek Yud, but was then subjugated by David and has now become one of his ardent supporters, which perhaps accounts for the change of his name. Machir ben Amiel is the man who had sheltered Mephibosheth, the son of Jehonatan, after he was injured while running away, until David brought him to his household. And Barzilai Hagiladi is the father of David's brother-in-law, the husband of Shaul's daughter Merav. It's significant that David's supporters come from the ranks of those who formerly opposed him, or may have had cause to do so, as members of Shaul's tribe or extended family. David interprets this as a sign that things are about to turn around, that the punishment decreed upon him has run its full course, and the Malchut will now be restored to him. It's important to note that even though we speak of the Malchut being restored, in the narrative voice of the Navi, the Malchut was never fully taken away from David. Throughout the story, he has been referred to as HaMelech. Nevertheless, there are disagreements among the halachic authorities as to whether David retained the full authority of the king while he was on the run from Avshalom. The delegation that came to greet him had set up couches and wash basins along with wheat, barley and corn, beans, lentils, toasted grain, honey, butter and cheese for David and his men to eat, for they assumed the men would be hungry, tired and thirsty after their flight through the desert. David and his men will be refreshed and rested for the upcoming battle with Avshalom's army. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.